Well, hi everybody. God bless you. Greetings from Colorado, and many thanks to Bob and Jeannie and Barney and Vicki and Jan for the invitation and the opportunity to share God's word. It's kind of hard to explain or express just what a blessing this fellowship is. It's not every single night or every fellowship that I get to join in, but whenever I do, it is always such a blessing to me to know that there's a family out there that I'm a part of, and that we all have a love for God and a love for His Word and a love for each other. And so tonight, I'd like to share on an aspect of peace that might be a little unusual. I entitled the teaching, Should I Keep My Peace? And I don't think that anyone would disagree that we are living in very interesting times, and there are many people facing challenges of varying degrees of difficulty all over the globe. There are hurricanes and earthquakes and pestilences and social uprisings and military transitions and military developments that could give anyone who's paying attention ample cause for concern. But in spite of all of these trying situations, as children of the Most High God, we know that He has promised that He will never leave us or forsake us, and therefore we can remain at peace while at the same time we are mentally and spiritually engaged in the fight. You know, it's interesting. I was not a part of the fellowship yesterday, but I was blessed to hear Jan share what she shared about, because though it's somewhat of a different topic, they flow together beautifully. In John chapter 14, verse 27, Jesus Christ was talking to His disciples shortly before His arrest, and He said, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." In this verse, the word for peace is eirene, one that most of us are familiar with, which is a state of quiet or tranquility, an exemption from the rage and havoc of war. Peace is an absolute stillness with this word. Now, there's another word in God's word that is also translated into our English word peace that I'd like to look at tonight, that is a peace that as sons of God we do not want to keep. Let's start by looking at an example of this kind of peace in a very familiar record. Mark chapter 4, and we'll start in verse 36. "And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship. And there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose, and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm." This word for peace is not eirene, but rather the word siopeo. It means to hold one's peace or to be silent. Here are other examples of where this word appears in Scripture. Let's look at Matthew chapter 20. We'll start in verse 29. And as they departed from Jericho, a great multitude followed him. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, "Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David." And we know that as a result of their persistence, the Lord called them to him, and they were healed. Here, these two blind men who are trying to get the Lord's attention as he is passing by are told by others in the crowd to be quiet, hold their peace. Then in Matthew chapter 26 is another record that I like to look at, and we'll start in verse 63. Now the chief priests and elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. At the last came two false witnesses and said, "This fellow said, 'I am able to destroy the temple of God and to build it in 3 days.'" And the high priest arose and said unto him, "Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witnesses against thee?" But Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, "I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God." During his trial, there were times that the Lord remained silent when he was questioned. And this is a very significant point that we will see prophesied in Isaiah. So let's turn to Isaiah 53. Excuse me, I need a little drink. I'm getting a scratchy throat. Okay, Isaiah 53, verse 7. "He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth." When the Lord was being tried before his crucifixion, he refrained from speaking. He kept his peace. Why is that significant? It's important to remember that he was taking upon himself the sin of mankind, though he himself was not guilty of sin. Had he spoken up and proclaimed that he did not deserve the punishment that was befalling him, or the many stripes and other humiliating acts that he endured, he would have been correct. Had he proclaimed his righteousness and demanded to be set free, he would have been rescued, because God would have honored his words. It was necessary for him to remain silent or hold his peace and allow the judgment to fall on him so that he could carry away our sickness, our sin, and our shame. Now that our redemption is complete, what are we to do in the face of challenges that threaten to take away our freedom and afflict us with sickness or shame? Are we to hold our peace and allow calamity to fall upon us? Very often, believers will quote the verse in Isaiah 54 that says, "No weapon formed against me shall prosper." And they only will quote that part, not realizing that they are leaving out an important portion of that verse. Let's look and see what that entire verse says. Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, who shall condemn? Thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. So when a tongue arises, meaning that a situation or words, spoken words, arise to condemn or to form a weapon against us, then we are to speak up and to speak from the righteousness that is ours in Christ. We are to condemn those words with words of truth from God's word. It's the responsibility of the believer to speak up against words from the enemy that would rise up against him. If that doesn't happen, the weapon formed against him could very likely prosper. Let's look at an example in the age of grace where a believer failed to hold his peace, and it changed the outcome of a very dire situation. It's in Acts chapter 22. And this is the Apostle Paul, where he is being questioned by the Jews because his doctrine did not line up with what the Jews expected to hear. And, well, let's see, where shall we start? Let's just start in verse 1, and we'll read this record. Men and brethren and fathers, hear ye my defense, which I make now unto you. And when they heard that he spake in the Hebrew tongue to them, they kept the more silence, and he said, I am verily a man, which am a Jew, born in Tarsus, a city in Cilicia, yet brought up in this city at the feet of Gamaliel, and taught according to the perfect manner of the law of the fathers, and was zealous towards God, as ye all are this day. And I persecuted this way unto the death, binding and delivering into prisons both men and women. As also the high priest doth bear me witness, and all the estate of the elders, from whom also I received letters unto the brethren, and went to Damascus to bring them, which were there, bound unto Jerusalem, for to be punished. And it came to pass that as I made my journey and was come nigh unto Damascus about noon, suddenly there shone from heaven a great light round about me. And I fell to the ground and heard a voice saying unto me, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And I answered, Who art thou, Lord? And he said unto me, I am Jesus of Nazareth, whom thou persecutest. And they that were with me saw indeed the light and were afraid, but they heard not the voice of him that spake to me. And I said, What shall I do, Lord? And the Lord said unto me, Arise and go into Damascus, and there it shall be told thee of all the things which are appointed for thee to do. And when I could not see for the glory of that light, being led by the hand of them that were with me, I came into Damascus. And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight. And the same hour I looked up upon him. And he said, The God of our fathers hath chosen thee, that thou shouldest know his will and see that just one, and shouldest hear the voice of his mouth. For thou shalt be his witness unto all men of what thou hast seen and heard. And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized, and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. And it came to pass that when I came again to Jerusalem, even while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and saw him saying unto me, Make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I imprisoned and beat in every synagogue them that believed on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of them that slew him. And he said unto me, Depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. And they gave audience unto this word, and then lift up their voice and said, Away with such a fellow from the earth, for it is not fit that he should live. So this was the response of the people who heard Saul give his, or Paul give his testimony. Verse 23, and as they cried out and cast off their clothes and threw dust into the air, the chief captain commanded him to be brought into the castle and bade that he should be examined by scourging, that he might know wherefore they cried so against him. And as they bound him with thongs, Paul said, you see that? Paul said unto the centurion that stood by, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? Now, what if he had held his peace? What if he had said nothing, remembering that the Lord had said nothing when he was beaten before his crucifixion? What if Paul had decided to take that posture? He would have been beaten and possibly killed, but he spoke, and he spoke a word that made a difference in this situation. Is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and uncondemned? When the centurion heard that, he went and told the chief captain, saying, take heed what thou doest, for this man is a Roman. Then the chief captain came and said unto him, tell me, art thou a Roman? He said, yea. And the chief captain answered, with a great sum obtained I this freedom. So he paid for the privilege of being a Roman. And Paul said, but I was free born. Then straightway they departed from him, which should have examined him by scourging, remember. And the chief captain also was afraid, after he knew that he was a Roman and because he had bound him. Now, let's see. As Paul, had he held his peace, he would have been beaten, possibly killed, and he had every right to not undergo this scourging because it was against the law. Well, there are things that the enemy comes at us with that are against God's spiritual law. Jesus Christ paid dearly for our freedom, and yet for many, those freedoms are challenged by the enemy. And we have the word of God that we can speak to change those situations. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, starting in verse 18, tells us that we have not only the ministry of reconciliation, but the word of reconciliation. It says, and all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. When directly faced with situations that are not honorable or ethical or are just plain evil, we should not stand idly by and allow the evil to proceed on its merry way. We, the body of Christ, are the restrainer that holds back the evil in this world until the Lord comes to gather us together, We must therefore stand and speak the words of life that may change the course of life and possibly save the life of another. When we think about that, how critical are our words? Our words could actually save the life of another. You know, 2 Timothy chapter 3 tells us that there will be great evil present in the last days. And I would recommend you go and read 2 Timothy chapter 3. All of the things that it says will happen. But it says that perilous times will come and that men will not be lovers of God. But then the remedy for that is in the very next chapter of 2 Timothy. And I would like to close here, 2 Timothy chapter 4. It tells us what we are to do about the perilous times and the blasphemers and the boasters and the proud. This is what we do about it. It says, preach the word. Be instant, in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Let's take our stand as sons of God and speak up for the truth. Our Lord paid a high price for us to have our freedoms, and we should not allow them to be stolen from us because we fail to speak. Don't hold your peace, but speak boldly and confidently and lovingly, knowing who you are in Christ. You are God's best, and God will always be there to direct and guide us and give us peace. So, thank you, and God bless you all.